Hello, this is Satyan Raja, and you're listening to News for the Soul, the opening your mind, your body, your being. Allow yourself to drench in this awesome information to evolve you to your next place.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Nicole Whitney, and this is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, and you're about to hear some highlights never before aired anywhere of the News for the Soul story. My story and the story for any of us that are ready, willing to step up in their path, their purpose, and serve in a conscious way in life. If the show even inspires one person, so by the end of the evening, our job is done. I hope you enjoy the show. News for the Soul began when I was going through a very difficult time. I was on permanent disability. I had a single mom, two kids. One of them was one at the time, barely. And I was still writing for the mainstream news, but on a freelance basis when I was well enough to. So, as crazy as it sounds for the mainstream reporter mind part of me, basically I heard a voice that suggested I was supposed to stop doing what I was doing, participating in the mainstream news, which I now realized was feeding the negativity globally on the planet by focusing on the worst 1% of the worst crap 99% of the time and spewing it out 24 hours a day through all forms of media, and to go forth and create a positive newspaper, which I did not know how to do, which I certainly didn't have the connections or financing to do, but basically started with what I could and did what I could. Felt a little like Noah's Ark or something at the time, but your vision day will come kind of stuff, but it was a lot deeper than that. So I took my next disability check and fumbled through a 8-page frightening looking thing that I called a newspaper, and that was the first issue. Not only was I on disability, but I was also hobbling around on a cane, and I had at least 2 incurable diseases at the time. Crohn's disease, arthritis, iritis, a bunch of stuff going on. Wasn't a well puppy and had lots of reasons why this was crazy, impossible, and not the job for me, but this voice was talking to me. So I did it anyway. And this is the thing, in those moments when those voices come forward and the intuition comes forward and true, conscious, inspired thought comes through our conditioning, even for a moment, to listen and see what happens. What have we got to lose? Our mind will tell us we have a lot to lose, but maybe we don't. So after that inspired thought happened, it's been my journey, it's been our journey. So that's why tying this all together and stepping forward to the new level, outside my comfort zone, which is telling my story as well. You can't listen to this and not change. Even if you don't visibly change, you now will have this in your consciousness as you go forward. And when those little voices come through for you, you'll know. News for the Soul is not just a show or a business in the classical sense of the word. It's a journey. It's me, and it's you, and it's what's happening on the planet right now, and it's what's going to happen. Even before leaving the mainstream news, I felt drawn to doing unusual things and covering things like firewalking, not by watching people do it, but obviously you'd have to take off your shoes and experience it to really come from knowing. And those experiences were sort of under the belt before this occurred. But shortly on into this journey, I encountered one of my most powerful and favorite teachers, T. Harv Eker, Peak Potentials here in Vancouver, and went through various trainings with him, which really gave me the toolbox I needed to kind of move through this and make News for the Soul exist, sustain, and grow. Here's an audio clip of an early interview I did with Harv long before I actually had a radio show. This interview was September 12th, right after 9/11 happened, when Harv was on location at Enlightened Warrior Training Camp in Squamish, B.C., and this was aired on the News for the Soul site, but like I said, it was way before I had a radio show in existence.
So the whole thing, as far as I'm concerned, is it's fear-based. Of course, the people who propagated this, it seems that they're powerful. But, of course, most people see this as cowardice, as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more than just them. They're extreme in their fear. But what we notice is that most people are living in their false self or their ego self or their conditioned mind, and meaning that they live based in fear. And most people do live based in fear, and that leads to the need for protection. And the protection need leads to the need to be right. And that's, of course, as we've talked about before, the mind's favorite pastime is to be right. right. And of course, that's not true power. So that they have to, a person in that realm needs to hurt other people or put other people down in order to build themselves up so they can feel good enough or they can feel right. And we know that's actually weaknesses. So the recommendation that I would have is based in education, based in training, which is why I do what I do, and many of the people you're going to have speaking probably do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have people recognize that they're not their past. You know, I'm not into the past too much, but I would love to find out whoever propagated this. Let's find out what their childhood was like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't have somebody who had a balanced and happy childhood doing crazy things like this. I would say that a good point to understand would be that why we do the work we do, enlightened warrior training. So what is that? That is the warrior's way is the way of action. And the enlightened part of it is the fact that we are warriors of the light. When I used to live down in San Diego, we lived in a fairly nice neighborhood, sort of call. And it was very nice until a couple of the gangs moved very, very close by. And then it wasn't so nice anymore. You know, Friday nights, so we had to worry about the kids going out, and Saturday nights, it's all day Saturday. Certain sections of the neighborhood already became infiltrated, and it was horrendous. By the end of it, there were people getting shot, and this is very close to a beautiful, beautiful neighborhood. And we, you know, realized that there are dark forces on this planet. It's not that they don't have goodness inside them. It's just that this goodness is covered up, and they don't see it. So they only operate from the darkness, from their ego self, from their false self. And there has to be something that is at least balances this. And that means that there's got to be people who take the other side, do the education, take the actions, take enlightened actions, and actually do something. It's fine to meditate, it's fine to send prayers, and those are all welcome, but in the end, something's got to be done. There's got to be action taken, and the warrior's way is the way of action. And so what I said to my group here was, if there are 100 warriors, and unfortunately 20 of them went down, 20 of them were killed, what do you do on the battlefield? What would you do? Do you run? Do you hide? Do you go underground? Do you stop and wait to get shot? What do you do? Well, they all agree that what they came up with is that you do something. You now need to train harder. You now need to grow yourself more. You now need to pass the message on even more than before.
Right.
And whatever we're doing, we need to band together, and we need to have a force. If they say there was a well-organized team that did this, a team of so-called evil, then we need to have a well-organized team for the light, for the good, and propagate goodness in this world, and especially areas where they are ignorant. Not to say they're bad, but just ignorant of some other possibilities. They don't know they live in the darkness. They don't know they're living in their lower self. We need to let them know this, and that's what consciousness is all about.
Because
they get programmed, they get conditioned, like we all do, and that's all they know. And what consciousness is all about, as you well know, Nicole, is that it's about living from choice in the present moment versus programming from the past. So that we have some choice right now, so that we can see our programming for what it is, know that it isn't who we are, and then make a choice in the present moment that's the most appropriate choice for who we are today and who we want to be tomorrow.
Right. So from their perspective, they think they're right. They don't see that.
They don't know any better. You know, they're dancing in the streets, some of them, because that's what they've been taught.
Right.
That America is the enemy. They don't even know America. They only know a burnt flag is the right way to go, and hate America, then you're cool. That's what they know, because that's what they've been taught. They haven't been here. They haven't been to Canada. They don't know any different.
So take action, but enlightened action.
Absolutely. The key word is action. And I think the other aspect is banding together and getting education on the role. I mean, I would love for every person in the world, let alone just this area here, to take the program that we're talking about here, the Enlightened Warrior Training.
Mm-hmm.
Not from a financial standpoint, but even if we could get it out there that more people can do these types of things so they could recognize their highest self so that they could live in their true power versus their false power based in fear.
Yeah.
And these people don't know they're living in fear. They don't know why they're doing what they're doing.
Or they think they know why.
Of course they think they know, but they don't know. You know, they don't know that it comes from fear. You know, if you said to whoever did this that what you did came from fear, they would have no concept of that. They would think it came from power. They would think they're courageous.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to educate young people and all people that there are two parts to them. and they have a choice at every moment in which part they're going to live, in the conscious part or the unconscious part. Mm-hmm. And again, I guess my major comment is there are a lot of people who do good things, but they, at this point in time, we need them to do more of it and do it better.
Right.
And voice and take actions out there and get the communities involved so that things are actually done in the world here.
Exactly. So action, enlightenment, and education. We've got a petition running that a lot of people are voicing feelings on there as well, but again, a lot of them are coming from that, you know, meditate and pray, and but you're saying we need to step in and do something, which makes a lot of sense.
Whatever it is you do, however you enlighten people from the standpoint of bringing positivity to their life is action. And don't just think about it, don't just pray about it, don't just talk about it, but actually do it. Instead of whatever you do, if you are a dance instructor and you bring joy to people, you know, instead of bringing joy to six people in your class, get educated, learn about business, learn about marketing, do what you need to do, and have 60 people in each class and have three classes a day. We need to do it more, and we need to do it faster. You know, we used to start off, we have programs, as you well know, Nicole, we have programs of this nature. We have 200 people at a shot. We have programs of other natures where we have 750, 1,000 people at a time. I'm not saying that's the right way to do it, but, you know, I believe in massive action. You know, I don't want to, whatever you do, you do. But do it more and do it better and get the word out. Let people know why you're doing it. You know, you need to be a positive force, and you need to do it now.
And
you're doing good work too, Nicole.
Well, it's really been interesting being able to put this into action over the last couple of days. Basically, what spurred this on was George Bush had declared basically a full wartime alert, and that's pretty much the status quo right now. And so things were getting pretty scary for a bit, and people were totally going into fear. You know, things are never going to be the same, all the talk shows, and well into the wee hours, and nothing's good anymore, and we must get more security, more tighter, and everything was sort of contracting with fear last night. So that's the reason we're doing this coverage. Do you have any sort of final note on the issue of that fear?
Just that we think it's normal. You know, that it's natural. And, of course, fear is natural, but living from there doesn't have to be. We have a natural self, a higher self, a true self, a spirit self. And even though most people live in fear, we think that we think it's natural, but it's actually just normal, meaning that everyone does it. And we've learned to be like this, and we need to unlearn it. There's not a lot of things you have to do. It's more about what you have to undo with regard to yourself. If you really want to grow, you want to undo some of the programming that's been there, just so you can be free to choose in the present moment. And I think, like I said, I think the key for me, and obviously I'm in this business for a reason, but and in this field, but it's got to go through education. It's got to be training process where we have to let people get information and get ways of educating people that they're going to respond to high impact methodology. I give you a quick example. I have a fellow in the camp right now. You know, his background is certainly not pretty, and his normal, he didn't want to be here. His wife dragged him here, and he didn't even know what the heck he was going into. But in the end, coming around very, very nicely. And now my thoughts are that most people, the ones I've ever met, have this goodness inside them. It's just all covered up with the muck. And what we need to do is kind of excavate some of that muck and let them see, let them have this alternative self that they can actually experience once in a while and go, God, I think I would rather live like that. If they've never experienced it, how would they know? You know, in some parts of the world, throwing rocks is your day-to-day job from 7 in the morning till 10 at night, and you think that's what you're supposed to do because that's what you've been taught to do, and that's what you do every day. It's a habit. They don't have any alternatives. We need to start here in Canada and here in the United States and give the type of people who wouldn't have alternatives and then and have them pass it along.
That should do it, unless there's anything else you wanted to add in there, Harsh.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And you're doing excellent work yourself. And let's all band together as a team and you know, have a voice that's strong for the other side. I mean, you read about gangs and you read about murders and you read about wars, but you don't read about very often about the positive things that are going on, and that's where you come in. And
right.
I think you're doing great work, and we need to band together and just do more of it and get thousands and thousands and thousands of people involved.
Exactly. And that sounds good stuff. All right. Well, thanks, Art.
Jim Wendelow.
4 degrees and raining. Here is what's making you this hour.
BC doctors will vote on what kind of action to take against the provincial government. I'm Jeff Cresswell.
But to go through the roof now that the Campbell
side bomber, presumably a Palestinian, blew himself up inside one of Jerusalem's most popular cafes, causing a heavy toll in Israeli casualties. The blast occurred at about 10.
I don't watch the news. I don't watch the news. There's a lot of people at 11 o'clock at night, the news goes on, and they've got to watch all the people who were killed that day. All the hit and runs and all the robberies and fires and deaths. And this is entertainment to them. So I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But I'm saying is what is going on in their head after this and during it. Anything that's empowering? I don't think that's empowering at all. You know, in fact, my wife is starting to like sports. That's the only thing on television at 11 o'clock that's you know, not going to drag you down before you go to sleep. And by the way, when you're watching TV, by the way, you're already in an altered state, aren't you? You're very susceptible. We have one of our EWT members in Toronto who's in hypnotherapy, has centers all across the country. And what he says is, there's nothing more detrimental you can do to your consciousness than watch negative news before you go to sleep. Not a thing you can do that's worse than that. And not a thing that's worse than waking up in the morning and looking at the disasters in the newspaper. Nothing can be worse for you than that. You're just seeping that information and that type of consciousness and negativity into your life. And then you wonder why you're nervous about life. Why you're scared about life? You've created it. You've inundated yourself. You've programmed and conditioned your mind to all the negativity going on. I'm not saying you should be like, you don't know what's going on at all. But, you know, I know there's a Kosovo. I know there's people dying. I know that. I don't have to study it and be, you know. And it might be interesting, yeah, but I'm not interested in interesting. I'm interested in empowering. You understand that? I'm interested in two things. Being happy and successful.
Practical mystic James Ray. I've also done some of his trainings and I hope to do more. Similar to Harv in the way that he teaches, but he's got more of the mystical teachings incorporated into his work, also very experiential. We've done some monumental interviews recently that really helped a lot of people, including myself, and I think including James.
Good. I haven't watched the news or read a newspaper in over 7 years. And I just spoke for Coca-Cola last week. I interact with the CEO of Coca-Cola, the vice president, and the president of Coca-Cola. You know, here's what I know. If something's really important, I always find out about it. If it's not really important, I don't inundate my mind with that garbage on a consistent basis. You say, James, I have to be informed. Maybe you have to be informed, but don't be inundated. Be informed, not inundated. I've never met one single high achiever on the planet, bar none, who has a whole lot of time to invest sitting in front of the plug-in drug. Not one. Thank you. It turns your mind into jello, and it tells you how limited you are and what you can't achieve. It's negative energy, and it's holding you back and sucking you into the collective quagmire and a collective consciousness that vibrates very, very low.
Bring you an update because they're starting to make some inroads, get some advertising, color photos. They've grown to 24 pages. We'll talk with the publisher editor of that later this morning as well. Good news. How many times have you heard someone say that the newspapers and television news reports go first to if it bleeds, it leads, and they jump on to the high profile, high visual impact of some tragedy? No news is trying to, if not change that, at least offer an alternative to that. We'll check in with the publisher editor of SAME, Nicole Whitney. You seem pretty determined for this to grow. It has. Why?
It has. I think the old adage of good news doesn't sell is a load of hooey, and I think that's why, because everyone's responding really positively to the idea that there's an alternative to all the negativity in the news, and it's a different way to do things.
But you're giving it away free. We've got about 10,000 or more coming out with each issue now, and you looking to expand that. Where and how is it financed?
Well, we're counting on businesses in the community to recognize that this is important and support it with ads. I mean, we're not, you know, I'm not...
And some have.
I'm not giving to the bank yet, you know, but because we're working at getting it out, like anything that's come in, I'm putting it, reinvesting it into making it a bigger, better paper. As you can see, I've gone to full process color, Electrobrite, nice quality paper.
Proactive, solutions-oriented form of journalism. I mean, there are horror stories out there in the news. Obviously, you feel that's taken care of by other media.
Right. Well, my position is that not that I'm just trying to be, you know, let's just focus on happy things and plug our ears and go la la la. I'm not listening up. My point is that I feel that things should be. I don't think solutions-oriented journalism should be weird or different. I think that should be the way things are done because there's supposed to be a point and a productive point to covering a story. That's why it's news. It's not supposed to be the point being scaring the crap out of somebody or depressing them on purpose to get their attention and sell us, you know, papers. It's unfortunate that that is odd and different and new. I think it should be the way that it's done.
Now, you have been distributing like 10,000 copies of this. Are you getting response in terms of letters or phone calls of encouragement?
Religious publications, the Bible, New Age books, Bible's up 10.
Spiritual,
music,
yeah,
up 10,
spiritual 10, content has, yeah, has gone through the roof. And we found this great website out of Vancouver. Where else but Vancouver? Founded by Nicole Whitney. The website is called newsforthesoul.com. And just delightful if you need inspiration or some positives in these stressful times. And Nicole joins us now from beautiful Vancouver. How you doing, Nicole?
This Saturday on CFUN, News for the Soul, an hour of consciousness-raising news and views that will amaze, enlighten, maybe even change your life. Each Saturday at 10 p.m., join host Nicole Whitney for inspiring stories, incredible interviews, discussions with Danyon Brinkley, and more. News for the Soul, 10 p.m. Saturday, here on CFUN. This week's guest is Danyon Brinkley, who has survived several near-death experiences. Hear his stories and important prophecies about the future of the world this Saturday at 10 p.m.
Over the years, I've been blessed to talk to amazing teachers, amazing people, and as often as possible, have often gone to their programs or experienced their work firsthand. You'll notice that with some of the regulars, one of which, Dr. David Morehouse, former CIA remote viewer, this is another thing that you can't just talk about. You have to come from experience and knowing to feel the power of this and to know it's real. Otherwise, it's just more talking, which doesn't really get us anywhere. Dr. David Morehouse, former CIA remote viewer, he's got an amazing story.
We're training Jordanian Rangers in operations that were at that juncture oriented towards Israel or Palestine, which is a bizarre thing, but that was what our government was doing at that moment. And of course, the great irony would be that 6 months later, there would be another Ranger Company commander training Israelis with operations oriented towards Jordan. But yeah, it's quite bizarre. But that was my life at that particular point in time, which was at that juncture. I spent about 13 years studying the art and science of taking human life, and I was very good at what I was doing. And my efficiency reports read destined to wear stars. I was extremely comfortable in that particular path in my life. And on this fateful day, I was struck in the head by a Jordanian machine gun bullet that was traveling roughly 2,832 feet per second, and it knocked me unconscious. And during that time that I was knocked unconscious, I had a vision, for lack of a better term. And in this vision, an angel is what I called it in the book came to me. He's calling an apparition, a spirit, a phantom, a ghost, an entity, an energy, whatever you're comfortable with. But I called it an angel because its message was very positive and loving and very poignant to me at that particular juncture of my life. And the message was multidimensional, but particularly what the angel said to me was that I had chosen the wrong path in my life and that I was to choose a new path and that I was to choose a path of teaching peace.
In the next hour on Proof Positive, three extraordinary cases, three scientific tests. As remote viewers,
may use a psychic energy to pinpoint the location of a designated target that could be anywhere in the world. Three stories of the paranormal, three scientific investigations. Only one will be judged proof positive. Which one do you think it will be? These people appear to be sleeping. In fact, they are remote viewing, connecting to a person, place, or thing they've been instructed to psychically locate. David Morehouse, a former CIA agent, believes anyone can do it. He's perfected a psychic spying technique called remote viewing, and he says he can generate the evidence to back up his claims.
Exactly what remote viewing is allowing someone to do is to see persons, places, or things distant in space-time. To gather information about that and to be able to describe that in very interesting and very wonderful terms.
In the 1980s, David Morehouse was a commander in the Army Rangers. During a training mission in the Middle East, he was wounded in the head. While recovering, he discovered he had apparent psychic powers. It earned him reassignment to a classified unit of the CIA.
I was sent to a special access program, codenamed Sunstreak at that time, and trained to become one of America's top secret psychic spies called remote viewers. Every day that we came to work, we worked a rogue's gallery of targets. It was a constant barrage of things that were ugly and sinister and moving targets.
Part of a remote viewing team, Morehouse worked hundreds of cases. From searching for a Soviet jet that crashed in the jungle carrying an atomic bomb, to tracking suspected double agents.
The rumors are that the CIA spent around $50 million to continue to pay for the scientific research and development of coordinate remote viewing.
Morehouse shares the notion that anyone can be taught remote viewing. So in 1991, he left the CIA and later developed a remote viewing training program that has attracted nearly 11,000 recruits.
Now, we don't make any pretense that it is 100% accurate. We recognize that it has its limitations, but it is also a tremendous tool that allows us to see something distant in space-time and come back with a very accurate picture of what is there.
We selected 12 remote viewers from throughout the United States and Canada and flew them to Los Angeles. Each of the viewers has undergone extended training with Morehouse. They've been told nothing about their task in advance.
I have every expectation, when given the mission, that they will do exactly what they have been asked to do.
The remote viewers are a diverse group, but they all share the same confidence in their skills. Ted Macy is a real estate broker from Atlanta, Georgia.
If it's a defined target, then we can get there. You collect as much information as you can. Sometimes you get one small piece, and another time you might get 100 different pieces.
Nicole Whitney is a radio talk show host in Vancouver, Canada.
I don't think there's anything that's a hard target, actually. If you can get to any place in time and space using this, how can anywhere be hard to get to?
Rommel Lozano works as a psychiatric counselor in San Diego, California. Morehouse and the group covered the entire 15-mile route. There were several sketches that didn't match anything, but there were quite a few that did.
Perhaps the record, which you sketched, Dan, and see why you started getting that kind of, well, that's why you started, it didn't transfer in here, but your scallop in your original sketch,
yeah, very famous Hollywood landmark.
Another remote viewer sketched the spire atop the building.
Well, I had just a flash of a strange, odd shape, but it was so distinct. I just wrote it down, but it was separate from whatever it was attached to. I knew it was part of a structure on a structure. So until we were driving today on the freeway, we realized what it was, Capitol Records.
It was very powerfully done.
Does remote viewing really work? There's no statistical method to judge the success of these remote viewers, but they did come up with at least 12 major hits, more than double what Morehouse had hoped for. Those numbers were more than enough to turn an impartial observer into a believer.
I have no concept of how this actually works. It's amazing to me. I mean, there's no way they knew what was going on here, where this person was going to be going. it kind of takes you away from the skeptical side a little bit and gives you more of that that belief in the fact that the remote viewing technology is something that that works.
Again, I'm always saying talk is cheap, and we need to come from experience and knowing from a place of power, not choosing to believe in someone else's experience. One of the monumental moments of experience was talking to Uri Geller and then bending a spoon with the power of my mind, realizing how simple and easy it was and that anyone could do it, and it was not a big deal. And yet it was huge to know that you, just by changing your thoughts and attending your focus to one certain thing, could change the matter of that thing. And you can only come from knowing by experiencing that. You can't, me telling you that doesn't make you understand that in that way. If you go to lifechangingtv.com, you'll see clips. Here's how to do it, and you'll see me doing it over and over, bending a spoon with the power of my mind with various guests that we have on the show. And this is real. This is not trickery or, I mean, that, what is empowering about tricking or illusion? Nothing. This is about being as real as it gets and being able to actually change matter with our mind. That's huge. When you get a chance, go check it out, lifechangingtv.com. Here's a clip from the Uri Geller segment.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. We're show in Vancouver here. How are you?
Okay. Very well. Thank you. The power of the mind is immense. It's enormous. I, in a way, brought spoon bending into the world, 40 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
But spoon bending is rather trivial. But what it does, it shows to what capacity we can actually trigger the human mind. I believe that the human potential is vast, and by a person trying to bend a spoon, they realize and they say, wow, if I can do this, I probably can do other things with my mind.
Absolutely.
You know, anyone who will be able to bend a spoon will be quite amazed, probably shocked. And that will be the realization that they can do more with the power of the mind.
I mean, I've done, you know, firewalking and things, and each time you have, you sort of break through with these boundaries. But I can honestly say, I mean, it's because you're talking about, you know, hard metal and with your mind. And if we are capable of doing this, what else can we do? I mean, can we bend a skyscraper with our mind? I mean, are we literally capable of moving
First
matter?
First of all, there are universal laws. You can't do anything negative with this, only positive. And by the way, children experience it more because children are very open-minded. They're not cynical. They're not skeptical. I mean, look at children during Christmas. They sit by the fireplace and they wait for Santa Claus. So when you hand a child a spoon, there is no barrier in their minds. And I've seen this happen thousands of times on the stage. I always call up kids and I surround myself with children because in a way they amplify my abilities. I, again, want to stress and insist that although I call spoon bending trivial, there are some scientists that say it's very important because you cannot explain it. Even here in England, when I demonstrated these abilities to Professor Brian Josephson, who is a Nobel Prize physicist, he's a Nobel Prize winner, he thinks that it could be quantum mechanics. Now, if the mind can do that, if you can alter molecular structures, I believe that with uniting thousands or hopefully hundreds of thousands of people, and in the bigger picture, millions of people, I believe that someday we will be able to neutralize nuclear weapons. I know it sounds very fantastic and far out and almost science fiction, but I truly believe in it, that someday we will be able to neutralize all the nuclear weapons around the world.
A huge shift in the News for the Soul growth happened at 9/11. It was like the day before I had the last bit of the new website in place and felt like, there, I made it in time for something. Next morning, all heck broke loose, as we know. And within 2 days after that, I'd connected with many speakers that I'd never thought I'd even be interviewing, all with the context of counterbalancing the coverage of the non-conscious media, we'll say. One example of that was talking to Deepak Chopra he was actually sitting in. I had some technical difficulties with the equipment I had. I didn't have a radio show yet, and here we were doing audio interviews. And he was off to CNN studios, and they weren't actually putting him on the air, so he was kind of hanging around. So he called me back from there, and we did the interview over the phone at that time while he was in CNN with all the, you know, chaos and kerfuffle in the background. Here's a couple clips from that interview with Dr. Deepak Chopra.
First of all, let's get to what I think should be done. I think the first thing that has to be done is the suffering of those who are injured, and I believe that's being done. The second thing that needs to be done is to ensure the safety of everyone, and I think that can be done by identifying the terrorist networks in this country, the cells, as they call them, and that has already been done.
Right.
Therefore, the perpetrators of this terrorism in this country can be rendered incapable of striking again. And that is that all the military might in the world is not capable of protecting us. That all the political maneuvers have not protected us. That all the diplomatic maneuvers have not protected us. Having said that, I think it's still possible right now to very selectively render the perpetrators of this crime and this terrorism helpless in that they cannot continue, at least for the time being, their activities. But it will only be for the time being. You have to be careful because, you know, you can only stop the intention of that magnitude and hatred of that magnitude for the time being.
Well, doesn't it put everything into a fear place where you're just protecting and you know, security and tightening? So, you mean, you can only have so much security.
Yeah, but I think when you identify the cells in the network, you can really measure the fact right now. I mean, they've done that really fast. So, you know, I can tell you that for the time being, everything's going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine for the time being. But in the long run, I think you have to realize that there's not a military solution to this. And you have to go into the deeper roots of what is happening, and that requires a lot of soul searching and a completely different way of looking at the world.
And then, of course, that's when Mr. Daniel Brinkley and I hooked up January 13th, and he had a lot to say about the 9/11 occurrences as well.
So what would your advice be to world leaders right now?
Well, my advice to world leaders, especially in America, is for us to stop, catch our spiritual and mental breath, not our wounded breath. Because in our spiritual and mental breath, we as a great nation, founded on religious freedom, with the Pledge of Allegiance, and so help me God, that there is also a place and a time that God can add to this, that our spiritual natures can add to it, and that our compassion is totally focused on those who lost loved ones, the loved ones who some could be trapped between this world and the next, which I learned about in my third near-death experience, that there is a level of consciousness that sudden fright, fear, and not knowing, anger, and anger on this side, and then as they leave this world and head to the other side, that they are trapped, and we must be known.
Shortly after 9/11, another pivotal moment happened for me with News for the Soul, where I was guided to interview the, quote, most controversial speaker in the world, close quote, David Icke from the UK. Once I connected with David Icke, I felt a real affinity with his story, being a mainstream journalist, hearing a voice, guiding him to do something else and more conscious paths and making a difference in that way eventually. And whatever you think about his story, I know that you feel the power in what he's saying. That's why he's making such a huge impact on the planet as well in his work. And we've had some most amazing moments with David Icke on the show. And 90% of the feedback that we're getting are about his interviews, and have been consistently all this time, years. Here's a couple clips now.
What we really are is everything that exists. And once you start looking at yourself and looking at the world from the point of view that you are the infinite, and not the fact that you are a personality called David Icke, your whole reality starts to change. And you start disconnecting from the consensus reality.
Free your mind.
People need to appreciate who they are. They are all existence. They have the potential to access all knowing, all love, all intelligence, all everything. And if they do that, or start to do that, and if they start to follow their intuition rather than their conditioned, manipulated, programmed head mind, they will start to know themselves what they need to do to make a difference. These people who are disconnected from time do not age at anything like the rate that the rest of us do. Beyond belief is where we need to go, and it's a whole new state of being. And I'm not claiming to be there yet, but I am saying that's where I want to head as rapidly as possible. So all these things that we experience as, well, that's the way life is made. People get older. They're illusions. They are generated by our belief in the fact that people get older. This world you think is around you, it's inside you. And you know something? You're creating it on what you accept to be real. The road to freedom is to take control of that process back so we understand we're creating our own reality. Don't believe anything. Belief is a manifestation of mind. And mind compared with spirit is ignorant.
Some scientists have found in their experiments that when this guy, I have some pictures of some of those water pictures in the book from this guy, Emoto, Professor Emoto, which are very, very relevant. And he was finding that if you have a low vibrational state, it's affected by a low vibrational state. If you have a high vibrational state, the low vibrational state, which makes sense, has no effect on it whatsoever. It's like two radio stations that are just on different frequencies. And as we raise our vibrational state, as we begin to awaken to the remember who we are, then all this low vibrational stuff is not going to affect us. If we're in a low vibrational state, then low vibrational chemicals in food and mobile phones and all this other shite that they're throwing at us to keep us down there is going to affect you. But if you're in a high vibrational state, then it's just going to pass through you. It's not going to affect you at all.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about vibration at the end. I mean, things like aspartame and fluoride and water and MSG and all this stuff, they're low vibrational phenomena. And if you're in a low vibrational state, then you're on their wavelength. That'll affect you. If you're in a high vibrational state, that'll affect you at all. Because physical expression is just an illusory holographic representation of waveforms. Fast frequency waveforms, high frequency waveforms, low frequency waveforms aren't going to touch it at all. And if they don't touch it on the level of waveform, they're not going to touch it on the level of hologram, because the hologram is an expression of the waveform, that's all.
Wow. That makes sense. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I just feel, you know, and this is a whole other interview, I feel it so strong, particularly, you know, through these last 2 weeks in South Africa, traveling around Kwelimotu and stuff, that we are on the brink of such a change. It's unbelievable. And we're at a point where it seems like the desire for control is reaching its peak and its conclusion and its Orwellian expression and outcome. But actually, it's the point where the great change is going to take place and this whole damn thing is going to fall apart. I've never, ever, since I started this journey, been more certain that within our lifetimes, you and me, and I was 53 last week, this is going to turn around. We are going to see a transformation that's going to be absolutely staggering, because if I change my attitude now to something, my life changes completely. Everything changes in regard to what that attitude caused before compared with what my changed attitude is now going to cause and now going to create. And it's the same. Once we flip from one perception of reality and who we are to another, everything changes in an instant. you know, it's just a fantastic time to be in this reality, because it's just going to be so much fun to see it turn around in just an unbelievably short period. This is going to turn around, you know.
I believe that. I'm seeing things speeding up.
That's right. Absolutely right.
There are so many more pivotal moments on the interviews and News for the Soul, which is why I've kept the whole archive free. I feel as though in recent years seeing all of this knowledge speeding up in the mainstream consciousness, breaching into, you know, the What the Bleep phenomenon, the little movie that could and did, and recent interviews with many of the people that appeared in that and their subsequent conferences, and Jay-Z Knight herself, who we'll be spending some time with in February 2006, a whole week to be exact, and doing another on-camera interview for LifeChangingTV.com with Jay-Z Knight, who channels Ramtha at that time. So amazing things are on the forefront, and it's been an incredible 8 years so far, and oh my gosh, I can't even imagine what's next. So that's really about it. I just wanted to tell you this is something that I'm always explaining it as a spirit-driven project, because I just listen to that voice and I'm guided, and you're able to transcend the limitations of the conscious mind and you're able to do the impossible. That sounds crazy, but it's true. It's been my experience for many, many years now, since January 1998, when this whole thing began, and the first issue of the Positive News newspaper, then called New News, KNOW, was hitting the streets. So, you know, the voice was right. And my experience has been the voice is always right. And that means that any of us can step out and unplug from our conditioning at any point and make a massive change and difference on the planet. Can you imagine if every one of you listening right now did that now? Can you imagine if everyone on the planet suddenly woke up and stepped into their true purpose in life and was fully in their power and not operating from fear and conditioning on the planet right now? What would that look like? So I honor you and congratulate you and thank you for your support, and I hope you'll keep tuning in to see what's going to happen next here at News for the Soul. Oh, yeah, and those incurable, in quotation marks, diseases that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, funny thing that they're gone. You can go to newsforthesoul.com. Hear all of our shows all free, all the time. See you there.
Darkness in your eyes, I taste the darkness in your eyes. I'm heading to the city of love, blue city of love, strange city of love. I see the light in your eyes. You preach light with your eyes. I'll take you to the city of love, blue city of love, strange city of love.
Before you go any further,
yes.
May we ask you a question?
Oh, please do.
Are you having fun?
I am definitely having fun.
Are you?
I'm having fun, and I'm on purpose.
Look at it from this perspective. Right now, at this moment, are you enjoying yourself? We know you're asking questions for others. We know that you've designed the show around the questions for others. But are you really having the joy that you are looking for?
Yes.
Completely?
Well, I thought I was, yeah.
Then why are you having such difficulty?
I don't know. I don't see it as difficulty. I'm seeing it as it is what it is, you know?
True. And we do recognize that you enjoy playing with the it is what it is concept.
Mm-hmm.
But you are also creating a difficulty around you. There's an energy around you that of resistance, an energy of difficulty, if you want to call it that. And we're asking you for a very good reason, in fact. Because you see, dear friend, in the last session we spoke to you, we suggested to you that you were the mouthpiece for everyone.
Yes.
And you prided yourself on that. That was very good. But in actual fact, you're forgetting that as the mouthpiece, it's also your exploration as well. So all these questions you've asked today, we do recognize it as a show, as the entertainer of the show, or the individual that really broadcasts the show, you want to provide your audience with members with as much reactive response as possible, but you're missing a golden opportunity for yourself, aren't you? To explore that part of you that is not fulfilled right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I totally recognize that News for the Soul, in every respect, is, you know, it's my own journey as well. And the listener's journey and the questioner's journey and all of it. I mean, we're all together on this exploration. But I wouldn't want to take up, you know, the show time with my own questions, though.
You see, this is where you fear and invalidate yourself. In fact, dear friend, your question is really what your audience members are asking as well. Look at yourself. What choices are facing you that you're afraid of making because you fear that a perspective of disempowerment, when in actual fact it would lead you to a greater perspective of power?
My intention is always to be facing my stuff and going where it's uncomfortable to grow, right? So
yeah.
I don't honestly don't consciously know the answer to that.
And we're not interested in putting you on the spot here, dear friend. We recognize that you enjoy being the television, radio reporter, so to speak. But in actual fact, it has benefit, this question. At some point, we would suggest give yourself an opportunity to explore it.
Okay.
It will lead you to a greater freedom that you're not giving yourself here right now.
All right. Okay. I shall explore.
Realize that you are a brilliant radio personality. Truly brilliant. And yet, in that brilliance, you also limit yourself as a radio personality. So the key here is to bring out more brilliance. Shine a little brighter, so to speak. Is it?
Well, I'm always up for that.
And to do that, you must be willing to share more of yourself.
More outside the comfort zone box.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can go to newsforthesoul.com. Hear all of our shows, all free, all the time. See you there.
This has been News for the Soul with Danyon Brinkley and Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.